Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth. And we're airing live on the heritageradionetwork.org. So if you've been listening regularly to the show, you're probably a little disappointed. Last week I didn't do a show. Jack messed me all up, my producer. He was away for like a month. He goes to Tennessee apparently, doesn't call me, and you send him emails and you get emails back saying I'm out of the office. And I'm only kidding, Jack. It was all my fault, buddy. But we're back, and I thought, we got to do something big today, and I'm all by myself, Chris Gesualdi, my co-host, Jesse Riley, neither one can make it, and I thought, what should I do? And I was going to talk about coyotes, if anybody happened to see the newspapers here in the local area. There was a coyote spotted out on Long Island, so you know, everything I've been screaming about, that we're going to have coyotes out there shortly, no one listened. And just as a little sidebar, I was driving home from hunting last year. If you know the area, I hunt out in Quogue, east end of Long Island. I was driving home on Sunrise Highway, and it was, you know, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night. It was dark, and I saw this outline of an animal on the side of Sunrise Highway, and I'm looking, and the thing's feeding on some roadkill or something. And I slow down, and I kind of pull over, and it's a coyote. This was last November. And so I stared at it for a few minutes. It looked up at me. It didn't care that my car was there. It continued to eat the roadkill and ran off. So I called the Department of Environmental Control, DEC, and I reported it. I said, hey, we got coyotes on Long Island. And the guy laughed me off the phone. You know, he was like, yeah, I know, right. Yeah, sir, it was probably a dog. You didn't see a coyote. And I said, it was definitely a coyote. Thank you. And I hung up. So opening the newspaper this morning and reading that they actually have these pictures of the coyotes out there really cheered me up a little bit. I know I'm not crazy. I know I've seen them out there. So that's something else we got to start dealing with. But that is not what today's show is going to be about. Maybe next week we'll talk about that, the migration of these coyotes onto Long Island. And we don't know how they got there. They went over the bridge, took the HOV lane. You know, maybe they swam across the Sound from Connecticut. I'm not sure. But we'll talk about that next week. Today, you ready? I want to talk about the guts of an animal eating organ meat. I want to talk about the inside of the animal. I want to get to, you know, this idea, you know, that the wild game domain is about sustainability and trying to use all of the animal. Now, you know, I'm not going to run around and claim I sharpen down the bones and make arrowheads and, you know, but I try to utilize as much of the deer as I possibly can. And part of that is utilizing the organs inside the animal. You know, just by gutting a deer, right, you're helping out the environment, you're helping out the woods, the ecosystem, the squirrels, the bugs, the soil's going to benefit, the plant life is going to benefit from the guts of that animal being left in our environment. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, there's a lot of good, nutritious, delicious food that can be found from the guts of the animal. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about it. You know, these days, you know, eating organ meat, you know, the popular liver, kidney, don't forget tripe, the heart. You know, in my culture, you know, where I mean, the Italian culture, we even eat the brain, you know, the brain of a goat. So, you know, what do these meats have that muscle meat And that's probably what you're used to eating, of course, the muscle meat, right? What does it have? Why would I want to eat these things? Why would I want to eat the organs of an animal? And the answer is where to begin. I mean, they have a lot to offer. Organ meat has the most concentration of just about every nutrient in the animal. You're going to find vitamins, minerals. What else are you going to find? Healthy fats, essential amino acids. In the old days, in the good old days, as we call them, organ meat was revered. It was saved for those the higher echelons of our society. You know, us regular poor people didn't get to eat it. That stuff was for the big shots, man. They needed all that nutrition. They were running the world. You know, it's kind of changed now. Now us poor, lowly hunters can go ahead and eat our organ meat ourselves. It was even saved for pregnant women. Sometimes they would, you know, they would save all the organ meat and only give it to the pregnant women. This way they could gain the nutrients they needed to help survive, really survive their childbirth experience. The head of the family or the head of the tribe would get the heart of the animal. It was nutritious. It was delicious, but it was also spiritual. You ate the heart of a deer. You took on some of the powers of the deer. You received some of his, you know, his abilities, the speed, his cunning, his ability to move through the woods. Who knows? You know, I don't question that. So if I eat the heart of a deer, maybe I become a better hunter. I remember my mom cooking liver, you know, as a kid. I also remember hating it, which is strange because now I actually look forward to venison liver, you know, the venison, really the liver of any animal, but specifically, you know, for me, it's a lot of deer hunting. You know, I love the liver of a deer. It's so funny. You know, so why has this changed for me? And it's hard to pinpoint exactly, you know, society. I think the fact truthfully that we've, as a society, migrated away from organ meat for some reason. It's this generation, you know, the younger generation. They migrated away from it. They didn't want to eat it. It wasn't a pleasant experience. You know, we had it every Wednesday. And I was like, oh, God, I know it's coming, onions and liver. Liver and onions. You know, so I think it just gets ingrained in us not to give it a chance, not to try it, not to be open-minded about it. The thing is, you know, it's a big benefit for us. Organ meat, I don't care if it's from grass-fed animals, you know, commercially bought. It could be very cheap compared to other meats. Even these, you know, very expensive grass-fed animals, you're still going to get a bargain on the liver or other organ meats from that animal. So, you know, not only do you get to eat the healthiest meat from the animal, but you get to save money doing it. And if you're living on a tight budget, this might be a great way, you know, to work in some of this world-famous grass-fed meat you've been hearing about, as opposed to that junk they're selling at Stop and Shop and whatnot. So, you know, I urge you to be what can we say, adventurous. Go out there and eat organ meat. I've had it in restaurants. I've had it, you know, growing up, like I said, an Italian family, different preparations. I love ordering online the most unusual organ meats when I don't, you know, this you know, if I'm lucky, I take down, if I'm really lucky, I take down 4 deer a year. So as far as organ meat goes, you know, and an average deer, let's say we get 100 pounds of muscle meat out of it, venison out of it. And that's great. And that's going to last me. So, you know, if I take down 4 deer, I'm giving it away. But as far as, you know, that's only 4 livers out of those deer. So it's not like this is something that I actually, you know, I try to hoard and save. Just the other day, I was doing a pan-fried venison heart. It was delicious, but I saved it for a special occasion. So a lot of times I'll order from online, you know, like feet. Don't forget pig's feet. You know, things like that. Something a little outside the box as much as possible, just to keep it fresh in my mind. But, you know, compared to the muscle meat, we're used to eating. Organ meats are dense. They're very densely packed and have, like I mentioned before, just about every nutrient, vitamin B, B1, B2, B6, folic acid, and the very important, don't forget, vitamin B12. Organ meats are also loaded with minerals, phosphorus, iron, copper, magnesium, iodine, calcium, potassium. All these things you're getting in a pill, I get from the guts of an animal. Let's add selenium, zinc, I can't think of any others. Then never mind, you know, your vitamins, vitamin A, D, E. Does anybody care about their vitamin K intake? Because I do. Vitamin K. Organ meat has the highest concentrations of naturally occurring fatty acids. Omega-3 fats, you've heard of this. You know, people are taking pills. Well, the organ meat of a lot of animals have this in it. Liver is known to be one of the most concentrated sources of vitamin A of any food. In addition to containing dozens of important vitamins and minerals, it's an outstanding source of vitamin D. I sound like I'm doing a commercial for the guts of animals. But, you know, I am in a way. I'm trying to sell you guys on this idea, especially you hunters. Now, you guys, I'm trying to convert from this idea of a natural way of life, you know, living off the land, harvesting your own food. I'm trying to get you over to my side. Let's, you know, don't gut your animal and worry about that. Let's get some muscle meat from the deer in you first, and then we'll move on. But you hunters, there's no excuse. You know, next time you're gutting that deer, and I'm sure you've got plenty of deer like me, you start to get good at it. You start to get a feel for it, and you start working your way up that animal. And you could easily identify the parts, especially the heart. You know, so, you know, I take down a deer. I track this deer. I find it. The first thing I want to do is field dress it out in the woods. So what do? I go from its bottom side all the way up, slicing through, you know, the stomach, slicing up its stomach to its chest plate. And I pull the deer open, and basically the guts, you know, fall out at that point if I turn the deer on its side. The esophagus, everything's connected up in the shoulder area. So I go up there with my knife, and, you know, the bright red heart just jumps out of you. So it's very easy to cut away that heart. I always bring, you know, some Ziploc bags with me when I'm hunting, and I keep them in my cargo pocket. So as I'm gutting the deer, those organs that I'm taking out of my gut pile, the heart, the liver, and so forth, I'm putting right into my Ziploc bag, sealing them up. I always have a cooler in my car with some ice, just in case they go right on the ice, you know. So you want to be careful about keeping them cold. But, you know, I recommend incorporating organ meat into your diet. You know, they say, I was looking it up because I'm like, how much organ meat should you really be eating? And the doctors tell us, you know, at least twice per week. And I was shocked at that, really. That's a lot of organ meat. I don't know if I do that. You know, I do twice a month, maybe, if I'm lucky, maybe once a month. But, you know, nutrients, vitamins, low in fat, all of these, some of it's low in fat, all of these benefits come from the organ meat. Now, in the second half of the show, because the flavor can be challenging for some of you guys, or because you're not used to it, I don't even know if it's, you know, to me it's delicious, but it is acquired. You know, it's an acquired taste that you got to get used to. We're gonna talk about, you know, maybe some ways of preparing and just the overall idea of the organ meat, just to make you a little more comfortable with it. So, with that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal on the heritageradionetwork.org. Stay tuned for more Wild Game Domain, everybody.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hey, we're back. Welcome back. I'm Chef Chad Pagano, and I'm your host of the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. Before we left, I was going on and on about the health benefits of organ meat. Let me back up a little bit, because maybe I got a little overzealous, a little excited. There are some, I don't want you eating this 5 days a week, 7 days a week. Work it into your diet. Everything in moderation. We've all heard that. I was looking at my notes during the break, and the American Heart Association recommends, especially the liver, that liver consumption not be a regular thing. So if you're going to eat liver, make it only on special occasions. If you eat it once a month, you're going to be okay. And even then, it's high in cholesterol, of course. If you have heart disease or high cholesterol, be careful. I mean, you shouldn't be eating it, obviously. You should be out running and not eating liver at home. You should be out exercising. The other reason you got to be careful, especially with the liver, putting it on your menu on a weekly basis, the liver is a metabolizing organ, meaning, it's a filter. It filters out the toxic substances that enter a body. Now, I certainly, a deer is not going to have a lot of toxic substance, depending on where you're hunting it, to filter out. But sometimes these toxins remain in the liver, and so as a result, if you're eating a lot of it, you're getting some of this leftover, residue of the animal. Now, we're talking about wild game here. So, we're not talking about hormones and, drugs, antibiotics, all the other crap they're putting in cows and other animals. We're talking about a wild deer as far as I'm concerned. Very few toxins. But still, the cholesterol levels are there, and you have to be careful of that. And I also want to make sure we're clear on the idea of food safety. We're talking about the guts of the animal. So, as you cut open your deer, you're gutting the animal. The guts are falling out onto the ground. Always rinse off these guts, these organs. Store them, like I said, in the plastic wrap, and make sure you're putting them on ice. Some of you guys, if you're hunting outside your club, in certain situations when I'm hunting, I have availability of a refrigerator. There's certain cases where I'll take the heart, the liver, put them in a bag, and I'll return to my hunting camp to put them in. I'll put them right in the refrigerator just to make sure. Other times I'm hunting on properties where I don't have access to a refrigerator, more remote. I always make sure when I go out I have ice in my car, in a cooler. It's that easy. The kidneys, another one I forgot about. I don't know if I mentioned that in the earlier part of the show, kidneys. I just did kidneys the other day in a red wine sauce. Now, truthfully, I could lie, right? I'm on the radio. No one would even know, but I'm an honest guy by nature. Should I have lied? I should have lied, right? I got to get used to lying on the radio. No, my producer is shaking his head no. Okay, so I was going to say I used venison kidneys, but I didn't. I didn't have any. So I was in the mood for kidneys. I was in the mood, summer break, school ended, my kids were home, and we've made a commitment, or my kids have made, I've already made this commitment, my kids have made the commitment to try new things this summer. They're like, we're off, we're relaxing, I don't get all the pressure of first, fourth, and fifth grade on me anymore. Dad, we'll buy into that, and we'll try some of this crazy stuff you're talking about. So I decided to be a smartass, and I had ordered some lamb kidneys. And I thought, all right, let's try to make this palatable for the children. And there's a lot of fun things you could do with kidneys. But you know what? I said, let's do a classic recipe with the kidneys. And so I did a sautéed kidneys in a red wine sauce. And it was really delicious. Easy. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to explain the recipe to you. And then I'm going to post it on my website, and we'll go from there. But, you know, just sit back and enjoy. Try to listen to the idea of it. It's not so much a recipe as it is a preparation, just a way of doing it. And you could, you know, like a lot of recipes, make it your own, just kind of change it up to make it your own. But it's a very impressive meal to put out for people. You could serve it with some form of rice or other grains. Delicious, you know, nice organic salad with this. And then you're living life. So, for this recipe, I used 1 pound of lamb kidneys. I used, guessing, you know, because I didn't write it down, 1/4 cup of wine vinegar. You want some of that nice acidity. 1/2 stick of butter, give or take, about an equal amount of nice extra virgin. Chef Chris is not here, so he's not going to go on and on about the canola oil and all that. So I'll tell you, extra virgin, nice dark extra virgin olive oil. 1 large onion, you know, depending on how much you like onion. And I finely diced the onion. You're going to want to use some mushrooms, anything you like. I used, you know, button mushroom, simple mushroom. I cleaned them up. You know how to clean mushrooms, right? Don't run them under the sink. Nice damp towel, wipe them down. They're usually pretty clean. And I sliced that. Finally, we get to some good red wine. Use good red wine. When you're cooking, everyone's heard this by now, right? Used to be, use the cheap shit. Not anymore. Use the good stuff. If it's good to drink, it's good to cook with. That's the idea. You're going to need a lot of salt. Use kosher. And you're going to need some pepper to taste. So the first thing you got to do, you got to rinse the kidney. You always want to rinse the kidneys out really nice, cold water. And then you're going to pat dry them. With a sharp, really sharp knife, remove the outside membrane, and that's membrane. That's why you need a really sharp knife. What you want to do is you'll feel the membrane kind of releasing as you run it down the kidney. It will just kind of, the kidney's almost under pressure, you know, with this membrane around it. So as you run the knife down, you'll feel it like want to burst open, but you don't want to go too deep in. But once you get it kind of open, the membrane kind of pulls off very, very easily. What I did, because, you know, I'm lazy, at that point I got all the membranes off, and I realized I had cut into it a little bit, so I just cut them in half. And what you're going to find is this, how do I explain it, this white fat and kind of these tubular veins or something inside the kidney. And you're going to want to go ahead and get in with the tip of your knife and pull those out. They release pretty easy. Kidney's very soft. Place all the kidneys and cover it with cold water and 1/4 cup of just enough water to cover and 1/4 cup of the wine vinegar. The acidity is going to help break it down a little bit. And you're going to let this soak for, you know, at least a half hour, an hour. You're going to drain it, you're going to rinse it, you're going to pat dry it again, you're going to set it aside. So now we're finally ready to cook. That was just the softening, the texture, you know, we're breaking it down with that vinegar. You know, get your saute pan out, and you melt the butter in the oil. The oil's there to fortify the butter, right? And we're going to start with the kidneys right in there. We're going to throw the kidneys in. And we're going to lightly brown them. Don't try to cook them all the way through. We just want to get that pan really hot, the oil and butter, and just brown them on all sides. Move them around the pan. You're going to remove them, put them onto paper towels. They might be a little oily, buttery. Let them drain out a little bit. Next, you're going to add the onions and the mushrooms, and you're going to cook those through. Sometimes, you know, the mushrooms, I like a little more texture on them, so I'll start with the onions, saute the onions, work in your mushrooms at the end. And you want to keep them moving the whole time. You know, don't let nice and even. I brought them, you know, they say to make them translucent. You know, I put a little color in them. You know, they had a little caramelization going on. I like that added earthiness that's going to come from that. At this point, you're almost done, believe it or not. You're going to add your red wine. And you're going to cook for another minute or so. It depends. You know, I'm cooking on high heat here. When I'm sautéing, I got that flame cranking. So I'm on it, and that thing's, you know, it's boiling. And I want to reduce it down. I want to, first of all, focus the flavors, right, of the red wine, the onion, the everything focused. And I want to thicken that sauce up a little bit. No, you don't need cornstarch or any of that crap. Just let it reduce down. Let the water evaporate from the wine. And it'll start to thicken. You'll see it in the pan as you draw your spoon through the pan. You'll see it kind of separate, and you'll be able to ascertain. You know, you don't want to make a syrup out of it, but you want it to cling to the kidneys. At this point, return the kidneys to your sauce and heat through. You know, I like my kidneys a little more well done. People say just put them in there and let the residual heat of the pan and the sauce cook through the kidneys. You know, I would say a good minute, high heat there. The sauce is boiling around. I'm shaking the pan, moving the kidneys. You know, like I said, I served this over some rice. And you know, some nice fresh vegetables, a salad, a glass of wine. And you're golden. You're eating like a king, some nice sourdough, some nice fresh bread. You got to do it, though. It's very simple. There's a lot of classic preparations. You don't have to use mine. Go, you know, we got the internet now. Go online and check it out. Well, I hope I've convinced some of you guys to go out there and use the organ meat. And again, you're not all hunters. I get that. So, again, go online. A lot of these companies are selling great grass-fed organ meat, and you want to utilize it. Start slow. Start with things you're familiarized with, the liver, and move on. Go to the heart. Eventually, you'll be doing kidneys, tripe, and everything else. For you hunters, as far as I'm concerned, and I'll call in. I dare you. You have no excuse. That's a usable part of the animal. And if you're harvesting that animal, don't get lazy on me and throw the guts away. Use the edible guts. They should be going in your freezer, and they should be used on a daily basis. Well, that's all the time we have today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'd like to thank the boys for engineering today's show. As usual, they did a great job. And you could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Also, you can check out our new website at wildgamedomain.com. You can try to find me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Chad Pagano, look me up. And remember, if you kill it, you eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.